This is episode 142, recorded on January 10th, 2014. Packard pokes at Pussy Pistols at Dawn. Say, friend, have you ever heard someone say something like this?
Holly said that vaccinations caused autism in children, but her scientifically well-read friend Caleb said that this claim has been debunked and proven false. Their friend Alice offered a compromise that vaccinations must cause some autism, just not all autism.
You have committed a logical fallacy.
This is known as the middle ground fallacy. You claim that a compromise, or a middle point, between two extremes must be the truth.
Is this the right one for an argument?
I've told you once.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. Oh, just now.
If you want to learn more about this logical fallacy or other logical fallacies, please visit yourlogicalfallacyis.com.
Do you really like Packard Pokes At and want to promote the show? Then go to cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt. There are hundreds of items available, including hats, shirts, hoodies, and so much more. Every purchase from cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt helps support the show. Your Packard Pokes At coffee mug is waiting for you.
Do you want to stream Packard Pokes At on your iPhone or BlackBerry? Download Stitcher free today at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packard Pokes At, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes At. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us tonight from the far east coast is Joe Unseen.
Chris Christie naked in a toll plaza. Chris Christie naked in a toll plaza.
I'm blind. Thank you, Joe.
I'm going back to Fort Lee.
The last thing I want to think about is Chris Christie naked, or Chris Christie, period.
I'll send you a picture later.
Oh, great, thanks.
It's going around.
I'll have to burn my hard drive after that, thank you.
You gouge your eyes out with a USB connector.
That's right. And joining us from the far west coast is Connie, Practical Magic 9.
Because aliens.
Because aliens.
Does he really say that on the show?
Yes.
I've never seen that show. Everybody makes fun of it.
He's got this weird ass hairdo. He looks like he has this in the picture. He does have his hands out like that but he's talking about aliens. I've seen one or two of the episodes. And he is talking about that shit. So I was like, but because, well, aliens, you know. I think that's where that came from, so.
He looks like a Christian TV game show host.
Just with bigger hair.
Right.
That hair's on purpose?
Yes, that hair's on purpose.
Wheel of Bible verse.
He looks like a cousin of Londo Malari. Babylon 5 joke. Never mind. If you've never seen the series.
Oh, yeah. He does look like he's from Babylon 5.
Yeah. If you've never seen Babylon 5, you'll never get that joke. Anyway, this is episode 142, everybody. Yes, we're closing in on 3 years of doing this show. Yes, we are that crazy to be here for 3 years.
We really need to shower, too.
Yes.
It's like a long time.
Has it been 3 years? Wow.
It's almost been 3 years, yeah. Yeah, every 50 show, it's a year, so give or take, you know. So that's a long time. And you're right, Connie. We need a long hard shower, and we will be getting one here in maybe about a month.
Use a very coarse brush.
Yes.
The elephant shower head from Seinfeld.
Yes. The one that just you spray it and you're like knocks you right on the floor.
It takes off a layer of skin.
Anyway, we have a great show for you tonight, so let's get going to our first topic for this evening.
Building a better future, science and technology.
cocaine. And I'm not talking about the song. I'm talking about the actual drug, cocaine. It's a very highly addictive substance. Actually, cigarettes are actually more addictive than cocaine. But with cocaine, it can be changed into so many different forms. It's changed into rock. It's changed into crack. And I'm not talking about the kind, the little thing that goes up and down the middle of your ass. That's not that kind of crack. With cocaine, there are always inherent problems because people spend lots of money on this, and you know, and you get all kinds of weird things. You're always licking your lips or your teeth or some shit. I don't know. I'm not addicted to any medications or drugs of any kind, so I don't know anything about being addicted to anything. I mean, you know, except for the show.
What's you that? Need to get some?
Yeah, Joe, can you hook me up?
Yeah,
talk later. Okay. The reason I bring this up is because they are working on a vaccine for cocaine. Yes, you heard that right. A vaccine for cocaine. This is a very long article. It's very deep and involved. Apparently what this vaccine does is when cocaine gets into the body, basically it works like they mix it with a cold virus. So this way when the brain detects cocaine in the body system, it thinks that the cocaine is a cold virus or a virus of some kind, and it basically attacks the cocaine, and the neuroreceptors for the transmitters of the brain can't absorb the cocaine particles, so then it takes even more to get that same high. As I was digging through this, because of that fact that you'd actually have to take 3 times the amount or 10 times the amount to get the same effect, then there's the possibility that someone could overdose on this. Now, they said that the result, this vaccine, it's not like forever. It's not like when you get a vaccine for like chickenpox or polio or whatever. And sometimes when you get older, you have to have a booster or whatever. But this one, they have to administer it like every 13 weeks or so. And they got it down to like 7 weeks. They said it works in mice, which is great for mice because, you know, we always know about those cocaine-addicted mice are coming in and going, hey, man,
oh yeah,
you got some cheese and some coke, you know. And
crack just ripped the mice community in two.
Yes, it did. It's just it was horrible. It was just fucking horrible. I mean, you see a little crack whore mice out there.
There's nothing sadder than that little mouse in the corner that's just, you know, constantly hand washing and its teeth are itchy and everything. That's so sad.
Yes.
Damn you crack mice.
They're whoring out their little bodies for more cocaine. Come on, I'll give you a good time, you get some stuff.
They're hitting my cats all the time too.
Yeah. But this, like I said, this article is deeply involved, and there's a lot here, more for me than I can digest in a single moment or episode here. But we'll try to give you as best information on this as we can. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, what's the fun of this? I mean, the drug-fueled weekend of mayhem that you went on in Vegas stays in Vegas. And as you mentioned, the article describes the vaccine is being developed by modifying a cold virus.
Yes.
That's very similar to how I Am Legend started. Science is going to wreck society and turn everyone into infected biters.
Oh, great.
Science must be stopped, Packard.
To hell with science! We can live on faith! Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. I forgot. Did you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I'm just pissed off at science.
Okay. You know, the thing is about this, though, is that because humans are not like mice, obviously, once they get the drug in them, they just kind of like, well, they're not interested anymore. People, are, on the other hand, are a whole different story because they get that high, and then they just like, they wanted to keep going at they wanted more of this. I think what they, if I read this article correctly, they kind of based this on test subjects, people who volunteered, but I think they were using meth or methadone or some sort and as their baseline. But you know, I'm not sure the connection between meth and cocaine there, but I think that because the people who were using the meth wanted to keep getting their high, so I think they had maybe used something like that for meth. I'm sorry, go ahead. Did you have anything else you wanted to add, Don Joe? I'm sorry.
I'm just going to add that God gave us cocaine for a reason. Who are we to question God?
It's It's a natural substance. It actually derived from a plant. So
yes, it is.
It is. It is. It grew in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve used it. It's in the Bible. Go look it up.
That must be the tree that they actually found.
The serpent was like, "Yo, screw the apple."
He said, "Oh, hey, hell buddy, no. you guys are out of here."
Do you want the? Do you want this apple, or do you want this little bag of white powder?
Oh, anyway,
God showed up and he's like, "Whose glass stem is this?"
Besides, you're cutting it too thick. You gotta cut it thinner. Oh, God was giving him coke lessons.
He's like, so that'd be information that the Bible
it'd be a lot more informative.
Yeah.
It?
Oh yeah, it would be.
Yes.
Connie, your thoughts?
Well, the test subjects. Well, I'm assuming they were volunteers. They had been treated with methadone, and I don't have the article. That part of the article in front of me, like you said, it was a long one.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they were also heroin addicts, and I know methadone is what you use to treat that. The other problem with the study was the kind of pharmaceutical they use a pharmaceutical grade cocaine, mm-hmm. which is made by Merck. And another article actually cited Keith Richards in his autobiography talking about a cocaine fueled tour that they did, and he actually used this particular kind of cocaine, which is something that is used in eye and nose surgery. And he says pharmaceutical coke cannot be compared in any way to the coke produced in Central and South America. It is pure, and there are absolutely no withdrawal symptoms.
Right.
So the kind of, you know, the fact that these test subjects were all already on some other kind of drug for withdrawal, the fact that they really probably didn't want to, you know, give up coke, they're getting this pure form of coke, I guess, that they're mm-hmm. being injected with so they can test it. That's problem number two.
Yep.
But it didn't address the whole root of the problem. These people really didn't want to give up their high, and
it was
really frightening when I realized, first of all, like, okay, you know, would this actually stop somebody from doing it? They said, well, because they would still get like 20% in it, but it wouldn't be enough to get high. I go, well, that's only because most people, if you're not addicted, you wouldn't try to go beyond that.
Right.
These people are used to a certain level, and if they can't get it, what will they do to do it? And they did 10 times the amount of coke in their system. And nobody died, but they said, you know, this is a very real possibility.
Yep.
The only real application I thought might be interesting is you hear the stories about coke addicted babies being born.
Yep.
And I think, you know, if there was something that could help block that for babies, you know, because they didn't choose that, that would be great. But I don't know that they could do. I don't know if you could do that. I mean, because the dosage would be
mm-hmm.
tricky, wouldn't it? You know, and like
you said,
it's not. And like Joe was saying, it's not. You're saying it's not a one-time thing. This is a series of boosters, and it has to be reapplied.
Yep.
So unless somebody really wants to quit, this wouldn't work.
Right.
And then there's one more problem, and that was that Bill Gates, he's campaigned and funding developing more vaccines. And his comment about drug companies and vaccines is it's not really profitable mm-hmm. for them, whereas something like methadone, which has a multiple-use thing, it's not cost effective, and there's a high liability attached to vaccine development.
Oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice, but I don't know. I think that this doctor's got a real uphill battle, and I'm not mm-hmm. even sure that it's going to work.
Yeah. There are a lot of problems with it, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
With everything that you mentioned there, and the fact is, the person has to want it. It's like the stuff that for the cigarette, people who have a cigarette addiction, they have to use either the patch or they have to use some kind of special medicine, which makes supposedly the cigarettes taste bad. Mm-hmm. I grew up around cigarettes. They smell bad to begin with. I don't understand why anybody would think that shit would taste good to begin with, you know. But to make something that probably tastes bad to begin with to taste worse, I mean, that takes a lot, you know. And like I said, you have to want it. If someone deeply wants to get off this shit, then it might work for them. We kind of had a discussion about well, hypnosis in our meeting, and they have to. It's kind of like the same thing. You have to want it to happen and for it to work. So, and I don't believe in hypnosis to begin with, but this is an interesting development for this stuff. And as it develops, we'll try to keep on top of the story as we find out more about it. All right. Anyway, we'll get on to our next story here. For people out there who love to cook and love to build shit, there is a new 3D printer you can get. It will actually, it's called a Chef Jet, and it basically prints objects out of sugar. So this way you can decorate your cake with little trigonometrical squares or whatever, or little tiny penises. You know, for those more obscene cakes.
Bachelorette party cakes.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. See?
The thing is, though, you better have some coin in your pocket, because these printers now, 3D printers, are starting to become a little bit more available, but they're still a little bit still out of reach for the common user right now. This sugar printer, it's a in the sub 5,000. Yes, I said 5,000. So if you got $5,000 sitting around and you have a real hankering for cubes of sugar that are look like multiple things, like little dodecahedrons or little penises or whatever, then yeah, this is for you. Or you can donate to the show. Which would be a far better investment, quite honestly.
So Packard, how wants do you eat a 3D sugar?
Okay, the same way, it. The same thing. You'd probably eat a regular penis. I'm sorry, Connie. You were saying what?
I said so. Packard wants 3D sugar. Got it.
Yes. Give me the sugar.
He wants 3D sugar penises.
Right. Actually, it comes in. The thing is with this printer, it comes in two flavors. One is a monochrome, so it basically would probably come out just like little white pieces of sugar. Or you can get the color printer, which is evidently more expensive. It's the pro version, so yeah,
$10,000 range.
Yeah, that's the $10,000 range. The pro model will build objects that are 10 by 14 by 8 inches, that's the diameter, while the monochrome, the smaller version, is only 8 by 8 by 6 inches. So it can't build like a lot of them, so you have to like take little pieces apart after it got done printing and put it on your cake or whatever after that. It's just kind of interesting how the fact is that we are able to do this eventually. And we've said this before on the show, that after a while, you've seen the TV show Star Trek, where if you haven't, the old stuff, but the newer stuff, they had the replicators, and they would put in their, they would just put in their order, and it would like, there it is. This is, I think, the first step to actually having replicated food. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I was just saying the other day that I need to make geometric shapes out of colored sugar. So this is my dream come true. I'm going to print up enough sugar parts to make a sugar robot. And why stop at one robot? I can make many sugar robots, and then sure. I can dominate the world until it rains.
So, I was just going to say.
Yeah, or so science for the win.
Or until someone comes with a shower, a hose, or some chocolate or something. And just hey.
It'll work.
Sure.
You're just a pessimist. You have to see it in action first.
Right.
And like you said, it's only $5,000, so I'm going to plug it into my Mac Pro, which is also $5,000.
Right.
And I'll have a $10,000 robot-making machine. Because, who needs food for the rest of life?
That's right. You could just keep putting sugar printer cartridges in there and just keep eating sugar.
Yeah. I'll have all the robots I could eat.
That's right. Connie, your thoughts?
It also prints in chocolate.
Oh, does it? Cool.
Yes, it does. And there was this.
I gotta have one now.
Some kind of a meeting with Engage It on. And they were demonstrating this, and a commenter on that section was actually at this event, and he said that the chocolate was structurally the strongest of the prints, but then again, the sugar ones are really meant to like melt on your tongue or in a drink or something like mm-hmm. that. But he said it was really neat. This is so much fun. You don't have to have CAD or CAM modeling experience or a degree to do this either. It comes with a digital cookbook, as it were, and it's supposed to launch around the end of 2014. And like everything, you know, technology comes in and it's like, well, you know, yeah, let me just, you know, set down my huge diamond rings and I'll thumb through my huge wallet and I'll find $10,000. It'll come down in price eventually, I'm sure, but it'll be very exciting. A lot of cake companies were saying, oh, think of the, you know, toppers and decorations we can make with this.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
So, yeah.
Yeah, you actually
they're really pretty, too. They're even though they're just, like you said, the picture just shows all these geometric shapes, and I go, but this could be really amazing if an artist, with an artist's eye, gets a hold of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'll be curious to see what'll happen.
You actually gave me a really interesting idea when you said you know, about the diamond ring and everything. What if somebody came and was like, hey, we'll just make one that looks like a diamond, and we'll just pop out the other diamond, we'll put a little sugar one in there, or replace it, and then we'll just, you know, take the diamond, and they'll never
know.
You're
such a criminal.
I'm sorry, the criminal mind is active.
Oh, my goodness.
They'll never get it wet, and if they do, oh my gosh, my diamond melted!
See, what diamond?
What diamond?
Duckin's Dog in the chat room says, this, if it's anything like ink printers, the cost of sugar is going to skyrocket.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dog.
Then we'll all be rubbing our teeth going, you got any sugar? Got any sugar?
Can I borrow a cup of sugar? Hell no! Get off my lawn!
Forget cocaine.
Forget the coke.
Sugar. I need my sugar rush, man.
Okay, anyway, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
It's the Onion Radio News.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
There's a lot of legends out there and things that people think are real and report on and quite frequently see. You know, they think they see things out in the woods when they're alone and have like 10 beers with them. And it's the Chupacabra. It's Bigfoot. It's the hairy snow monster. You know, people see all things. They see all kinds of things out there. You know, you're out in the woods alone. You kind of think you're seeing shit. This guy, his name is Rick Dyer. And if you don't know that name, you're going to become familiar with it tonight. He claimed a while back, about 2 years ago or so, that he found and killed a Bigfoot. Then sent out some body parts or whatever to be tested. And it turns out it was a hoax. Because it turned out that it was a body rubber suit of a gorilla or monkey or whatever it was. Now he's at it again. And he thinks that, or he's claiming he's got a Bigfoot. Now, I was going through the stories here, and what was funny is that he's made this big, elaborate dealy here, is that the reason why he didn't come out with it the first time is because of legal issues. I'm like, what legal issues is he talking about? You know, maybe he's going to get a series on this, hunting and shooting Bigfoot in the face with a bazooka. I don't know what he's going to call it. And and he claims he's got Bigfoot now, but he's sent out some samples for tests. But the thing is, also, he had it stuffed and mounted. So any DNA samples that you could have gotten from this are fucking gone, because the process is, once you taxidermy an animal, you don't get a good DNA sample off it. It's almost impossible. And the other part about getting a DNA sample on a Bigfoot is, what do you have to compare it to? We don't have Bigfoots in captivity to go, oh yeah, that was a Bigfoot, you know. First he then he's changed his story just recently. This came out earlier this week, and then the story's changed. First he says he killed it down in Texas, and then he's like, oh no, I killed it out in Washington State. Connie, you're not missing any relatives, are you, out there? Just kidding.
That's low-hanging branch.
Yes, that's a very low-hanging branch.
His tree has no fork.
Yes.
So I'm going to say,
I don't think I don't even think he can eat with a fork.
Doubt it.
If I was living out in Washington, I would have made the same joke, Connie. So only about myself. Anyway, and he's got this picture of what he says is a Bigfoot, and then he's got some grainy-ass footage, and I was looking at that again today. I looked at it before, and I looked at it again where he's, like, supposedly in a tent, and this the Bigfoot monster or the Bigfoot creature is supposedly eating some ribs that he nailed to a tree from Walmart. You know, if I was Bigfoot, I'd be going, yeah, those are the good ribs. I think I'll take these. You know, what?
Well, the package was labeled Bigfoot bait.
That's right. It was.
They had it on sale. It's the best price in town. You can't beat it.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he was hoping for an endorsement.
Yeah. Buy your Bigfoot ribs, you know.
The ribs are caught Bigfoot.
Yeah.
No big feet were harmed in the making of these ribs.
Right. Yet. Yet. They are good and tasty, though. You know, little barbecue sauce, and they taste out real nice. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, of course this is real. I mean, the U.S. Navy found evidence of mermaids, so why can't there be a Bigfoot?
Sure.
I mean, I know in real life a couple of ghost hunters, and I used to mercilessly mock them. Mm-hmm. And I don't know any Bigfoot hunters, but I might be wrong. I might be in the wrong part of the country. But, you know, I think we've in past shows when we've talked about Bigfoot, I've pointed out that, you know, we live in an age of high-quality cameras, mm-hmm. and they're everywhere. And the only photos or videos of Bigfoot are still low-quality, grainy, you know, it looks like a guy in a monkey suit walking around.
Mm-hmm.
It's just silly, you know. They never find any fur. They never find a corpse. No one's ever hit one with their car.
Right.
So, you know, I'm genuinely baffled by anyone who believes these things. It's silly.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Connie, your thoughts?
Well, by the way, you were talking about my relatives, whether Bigfoot was one of my relatives. I missed that. I'm slow on the uptake tonight. Okay. The answer is no.
Okay, good.
I mean, you know, we Danes and Norwegians do tend to be a little hairy, but that's not. So, what was really fascinating to me about this whole thing was reading everything that Dyer said, and he just, I'm the bestest tracker ever. I don't know. He's such a moron, but he's a dishonest moron. And the man he was also a used car salesman,
mm-hmm.
and he was arrested because he was running scams with some woman on eBay selling Corvettes, and some guy in Canada paid for two cars and
really?
Never received them, and somebody else said he had received a car, but it was all beat up. You know, he has all these other previous hoaxes. What cracked me up was he was talking about, too, he said he sent this Bigfoot body, he sent it to a Washington University. I don't know which one.
Right.
And I tried finding it. I'm like, okay, but nobody came up. Mm-hmm. And we're doing 3D optical scanners. I'm going, wait, a 3D optical scanner? And so I looked that up, and that is something that's used to make 3D images of things like, you know, for like machine shops and mm-hmm. tools. The man is just talking out of his ass, pardon me, but he's just spouting
his Bigfoot
up
ass.
He's paying. You know, he's driving around with the thing in the back of the trailer and charging people to see the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It looks like the picture of this thing. It's obviously just another. It's just another.
It looks like
costume.
It looks like something you would see, you know, from the Hobbit movie. You know, it's it's a dwarf. He's killed a dwarf, man.
He doesn't mean it, like Peter Jackson. Photo. Your Hobbit, your creatures in the Hobbit movie look a lot better than that.
That's right.
So
at least take a picture. You know, and the thing is, though, I didn't even Bigfoot were even in season. You know,
right?
Well, why is it that he would shoot it anyway? If it's really the only one, why would you not try to trank it, capture it, bring it in, do something like that? No, you know, your first impulse is to shoot it and kill it.
Yes, exactly.
What a moron.
Absolutely.
And,
is he going to eat it?
That's why he's
got to eat.
That's right. He don't eat all the gizzards inside and all the meat and think, what do you want to do with the meat? You know, I'll just take and put that in the freezer, and I'll have that for snacks. And
I'm going to make some jerky.
Jake, make some Bigfoot jerky.
That's right.
I'm going to have the rest stuffed and melt and put that thing right up on my big-ass wall.
Hey, wasn't those commercials messing with Sasquatch for beef jerky?
As a matter of fact, they were.
Yes,
does Bigfoot want some jerky? Oh, no, can't have any. Roar!
Those commercials are so funny.
They are hilarious. Those things are fucking hilarious.
Yes. So don't read about the Bigfoot, everybody. If you go online, I would say just research everything about this scumbag Dyer and let, you know, just we give him an absolute freeze out cold shoulder and hope he just goes away. So.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Speaking of things that are cold and in places that shouldn't belong, our next story here.
Oh, God.
Jennifer McCarthy, who was apparently married to a prize-winning Pulitzer Prize-winning author, McCormick McCarthy. She was arrested just recently after allegedly whipping a gun. Picture this, whipping a gun out of her vagina. You know, I've seen a lot of movies where they're whipping the guns out. They're moving it pretty quickly. But they said that she whipped it out of her vagina. You know, there's a lot of tissue there, very sensitive tissue. And I'm sure Connie's sitting there crossing her legs right now.
No, she won't do that because her gun might go off.
Right.
Shh, Joe. I have a permit for concealed
weapons. There, it's not a holster, people. She apparently got into an argument with her boyfriend, and she apparently came out of the bathroom, and she was in this negligee. Apparently, they were starting to actually have intercourse, and the gun was lodged up inside her. According to the article here, it says, McCarthy left her Santa Fe residence, then came back and changed into lingerie. Her outfit was accessorized by a silver handgun placed in her vagina, which she began to have intercourse. Maybe she was having intercourse with the gun.
I think that's what that means. Yes.
Okay. Then I read this wrong. I thought she was having intercourse while the gun was in there. You know. There's a lot of things you get excited like. Oh my God! Oh, safety forgot to turn the safety off, or on rather. And then she pulls it out and she whips it back out, and you know, guns have, you know, these little things on the front of them so you can aim better. And, you know, that would probably hurt coming out of there. And then she points it at the boyfriend. I'm hoping he does not go back to this girl, or this woman, rather. And say, you know, let her off the hook, as it were. But she whips it out of there and says, who's the crazy one now? You know, you are a woman because you are having sex with a gun! You know, if you want to feel something like that, there are plenty of toys out there that look like that, and they're not as deadly. And the fact is, you know, while you were doing this, if that gun had gone off, you would be fucking dead. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, the funny thing is, she asked, which one is crazy, me or you?
Yeah.
Now, there's crazy, and then there's crazy. How crazy does someone have to be to insert a loaded gun into her vagina?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, what if it went off?
Exactly.
That would just be, like, really awful. And, you know, fortunately she was arrested for this, so now at least she won't be able to accidentally shoot anyone's vagina, not even her own.
Yeah.
So vaginas everywhere are safe.
It's not a holster, people.
She's proving you wrong.
Apparently she is.
What's that in your sausage holster? Oh, it's a gun.
There are the a lot of things like there that people do. You know, there's so many things that people have sex with. I mean, guys, we're known. We'll fuck anything that is moving, pretty much.
Speak for yourself.
It's not what you told me last night, Joe.
How is
anyway,
that?
I'm just kidding. You know, there's an old joke from Eddie Murphy who would say, you know, you don't trust the bus boys because their bus boys are always so horny, even the fish stop swimming because they'll fuck anything that move. But
oh my God,
you ever heard that one?
No.
Yeah, you got to look that one up. But anyway. But, you know, it's absurd. You know, If you want to, if you get off having sex with a gun, whatever floats your boat. But you know, I'm hoping that the thing would be unloaded at least. Kind of your thoughts.
Well, when she says, who's crazy, you or me, I thought, well, he has a 50-50 chance of getting the right answer, unless it's C, which is, like, both of them.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, Cormac McCarthy, her ex-husband, wrote the book No Country for Old Men, and I was like, wait, how did he spell country again? He was speaking of her. But they didn't say in the article, I couldn't find it. All it's the only reference to what gun, kind of gun it was a Silver Smith & Wesson. I'm going, what caliber? And so
it'd have to be a smaller caliber, one of those smaller calibers, maybe a 22.
An average length or depth of a vagina is like 3 to 4 inches. But
not tell us more.
Here's an interesting thing that when sexually aroused, the woman's vagina increases by like 200%.
Mm-hmm.
So we can start with like a 357 Magnum and go up from there.
Really?
Evidently.
Mythbusters should test this.
Yes. I can see this is a Mythbusters episode. We did have Carrie Byron on as a shout out for.
True. She she's not a gun person. She didn't like to hunt, but she liked guns.
Yeah,
she liked to shoot them. That's kind of fun.
Never mind. I'm not going to go. You know, associate Carrie Byron with that because that's obviously not her.
The song I kept going through my head too was "The Homecoming Queen's Got a Gun."
Uh huh. I've got that song. I know that one.
Yes. Judy Tenuta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah.
That's a funny one.
That's interesting, Connie. I did not realize that. So yeah, go
well, you know, I research for the show because I love the show and I love you, Packard.
Thank you,
and Joe. So there you go.
Thank you. No, all right, now you've made me blush.
Bringing it back to science,
right?
For the win. For the crazy.
Yes, and for the crazy. Before we get on to our next topic here, if you want to get in contact with us or leave us a phone or a comment or a suggestion or whatever, if you want to call us, the phone number is below. If you want to give us a call, the number is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. And you know, give us a call. Tell us how much you like us. Tell us how much you hate us. Tell us what we did wrong. Tell us what we got right. I don't care. You know, just call us. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it here on the show. And if you want to get in contact with us other ways, there are other ways. We are on Twitter and Facebook. And please, if you haven't gone to facebook.com/PackardPokesAt and hit the like button, please do, because we would, you know, all those likes help, you know, bring us up and so people can actually find us. But if you want to get in contact with us in other ways, we're going to give you all that information right now.
Would you like to contact us? Your host, Packard Sonic, and his very honored and crazy co-host with occasional guest hosts enjoy your comments or suggestions. You can reach us 28 hours a day, 8 days a week on A Can on a String, Smoke Signals, Star Trek Communicator. Those may not work, but you can contact us on Twitter as PackardPokesAt and by email at PackardPokesAt@gmail.com. You can also listen and join in the conversation live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Central Time on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt. You can find past shows on iTunes, YouTube, Mixler Radio, and Stitcher Radio. Help us out by rating, commenting, subscribing, retweeting, and reposting the show wherever you can. Click the like button on Facebook/PackardPokesAt to join in the conversation. Would you like to help keep the show running and pick up some awesome Packard Pokesat merchandise? Visit cafepress.com/PackardPokesAt today and buy hats, shirts, or one of over 300 other items that are also available. Visit PackardPokesAt.wordpress.com for links to the news articles covered tonight and more information on this or other episodes. We hope you enjoy the show. Thanks for listening and your support.
And thank you, Joe. Damn, you do a good job of that.
Well, that wasn't me. That was my evil twin.
Oh, it
was
your evil twin. Well,
yeah, he's been practicing.
He's been practicing, too, apparently. You sent him my script.
Yeah. Well, he's a fan of the show. So.
Oh, cool. Good. If you have an evil twin and you want him to come to the show, you know, we're on VaughnLive.tv/PackardPokesAt every Friday night at 9 p.m. Anyway. Unless we say otherwise, in which is very rare, but we're here, you know. Come watch the show. Catch all the shit live. You'll see shit that you don't see in the cleaned up version. But anyway, speaking of cleaned up, let's get to our next topic for this evening. In Colorado, there's a principal, and most people think when you're in school, you know, the thing you want to do is get out of school. Well, this principal wanted to stay in school, and she got fired from her job because she did something that, you know, a lot of people fail to do sometimes. She did the right thing, and she was trying to do the right thing. The system got set up so this way when kids who were slightly more impoverished, they supposedly to get a stamp on their hand, so this way they would know that, hey, this child doesn't have any money in their food account. So that way, when they come up, they say, oh, you got a stamp on your hand. No food for you. You don't get food. None for you. You know, this, and she was fighting this. She was fighting and saying, hey, this is being disrespectful because, you know, these kids, they got to walk around with a little stamp on their head. Why don't they put a big star right there on their shirt? You know, like they did in Nazi Germany. Yes, and I brought up the Nazis again. Because this is how they identify the Jews, by putting something identifying them on their clothing or on their body, and they had to wear it all the time. This is the same damn thing. You're putting a stamp on them. You're telling them, hey, these people are impoverished. And then these people are being targeted by other kids saying, hey, you got no lunch money and shit like that. And kids can be cruel, come up with all kinds of things. Now, there is only one little upside to all this with the kids having the stamps. You know they're not going to get robbed for lunch money because they don't have any. I'm sorry, that was really bad. But the kids are being humiliated because of this, and I don't think it's right. Now, the parents who found out that this principal who was fired, they got together and they're trying to get this lady her job back. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, what an awful thing to do to children. I mean, you don't have enough money for food? Okay, well, we'll mark your body. And right. Mark your body with a symbol of shame, stupid poor kids. Mm-hmm. Tell your parents to stop being lazy and make more money.
Right.
And, you know, what's also awful is they fired the school principal for speaking up against it. And mm-hmm. She said in her interview that when she came to him with it, they were actually, like, you know, not, like, supportive. Like, oh, yeah, we never thought of it that way. They were just like, who the hell do you think you are telling us what to do?
Right.
And so they fired her, and she said she was going to get a lawyer, and she absolutely should.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, and I hope. I think she should have gotten. She should get one, and I hope that she wins. And it sets this school system to shame. And seeing as it's got a big national attention now, that maybe that some pressure will come down on them. You know, public pressure will go, hey, you know, from all across the country, they'll say, what are you doing? You're shaming kids for no reason other than the fact that they're poor. That's absurd.
She's got the parents on her side too, which is good.
So. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the important part. You know, if it had been her saying, yeah, we should stamp the kids, and she got fired because she said that, I would be saying, yes, then fire her. But she was not the bad guy here. She was saying, don't do this. This is not a thing you should be doing. You know, I think the star, the Jew star thing, is exactly the same thing. Its only difference is it's an economic level versus a religious level. That's the only difference. Connie, your thoughts?
Okay. I spent the last, like, I don't know how many hours researching this. What happened was I was curious about the whole story about the stamping. And first of all, this was Principal Ronnie, Noelle Ronnie's beginning of her sixth year. She came there 5 years ago from Seattle. About 5-6 years ago, the school district, well, this school was a charter school. It began in 2000 as part of Boulder, Colorado school district. And their policy was that you could pre-buy your lunch tickets for your kids. If your account ran low, they would stamp the hands of the children who were going home, so that because kids lose notes, right? Mm-hmm. You put a note in their pack and it doesn't make it to the parents, but the parents see the stamp, they know they need to come down to the school and make a payment.
Right.
And but here about 5-6 years ago, they started doing things online, mm-hmm. and people could pay, you know, a different way. And so this school principal was not aware of this policy, although Sam Todd, the director of operations with the school district, is trying to claim that, you know, it's offensive that food services, it's suggested that they would intentionally do anything to stigmatize others. And he's doing all this damage control, saying, this is a policy that's been in place before, like 5 years ago. But I'm sitting here going, wait, no, she wasn't even here 5 years ago.
Right.
This wasn't, you know, she didn't know about this. And it hasn't been a school policy. Now, the other thing happened this fall, sorry, there was so much, and I'm don't want to talk too much about it, but what happened this fall is they got a brand new system and a brand new operating system, brand new software, mm-hmm. And they had six new food servers,
mm-hmm.
and the thing broke down because the cashier couldn't tell which kids were supposed to have free or reduced lunch,
right,
and which weren't. And that's what makes this really awful, is we are talking about kids who are already poor, you know, they're on these service, they're supposed to get free lunch, mm-hmm. and they're getting, and so instead of notifications going home to parents like by email, these kids' hands are getting stamped. When this principal found that out, she came in, she says, you need to stop that. She talked, and she didn't just tell the workers, she went to the chain of command, she went to the food service manager,
right.
and said, look, you need to stop this. And the food service manager refused, and they kept on stamping. The director, Sam Todd, tries to claim that, oh, well, once we found out what happened, we immediately stopped doing it.
Mm.
No, that's not what the principal says. And so when the principal realized that it was still going on, she took the food manager in front of the staff and all the other people and said, look, this has got to stop. The food manager resigned. The food manager quit immediately. And the board of directors and Kelly Reeser, who is the educational overseer for the board, wrote her up and put a, you know, disciplinary note in her thing file and said, you know, you need to take the blame for this food service manager resigning, and said that the principal had unprofessional conduct.
Yeah.
And with a later meeting with the board, they summarily fired her, and the board tried to say, yeah, but it wasn't in retaliation, which is a load of crap.
Right.
And the parents got together with the staff, and they, because this school is an at-will school, they're at-will hiring,
mm-hmm.
and that means that they can be, the teachers, anybody could be let go at a moment's notice.
For any reason, yeah.
But the problem is, you see, for that to be the kind of environment, they walk into that knowing that, but it takes a great degree of trust between employer and the board, you know, the teachers and the board and everybody,
mm-hmm.
so that you don't think that anything I do, any little thing I do could get me fired. So now, here all the teachers are freaked out, you know, and so as of January 3rd, the parents got together, and they are recalling the board of directors, what is his name? I can't remember his name. And then one of the other board members, and they're electing, you know, have four other people that they're going to elect to put in the board.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll be able to get their principal back. She would love to come back. And the kid, and it's just so tragic. It's a bunch of people with egos and
oh,
crap.
Yeah.
And it's awful. It's just awful. I hope she gets her job.
I hope she does too. Yes, absolutely. You know,
and she was an advocate for the kids.
Absolutely, yeah. And the fact is, you know, a lot of people who go into the teaching profession and get into principal eventually, they're there for the children. They're there for the kids. You know, they're not there just for themselves because, you know, teachers don't pay a whole hell of a lot. You know, they're not getting rich off the system. I just want to make a comment here that Dawkins said in the chat room. He says, it's not like the Juice Star unless the kids are put into a separate line that leads to the gas ovens and not to the serving counter. You know.
Oh, now I'm thinking about the Simpsons episode where they're eating the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I said ovens. I'm like...
No, but I was more into the analogous, you know, the analogy of, you know, they would be at least identified. It was just an identification, you know, not between who was going to be, you know, go to the gas oven, you know. If they do go to the gas oven, maybe they have to take out the lasagna, you know, make them work for their money. You want some lasagna? You have to work for it now. Yes, we'll put you in the coal mine of the lunch lady's room. You know.
Stamp hand children to the left. Don't touch the barbed wire.
Anyway,
it's too soon, Joe. Too soon.
Too soon. No. Too soon, Joe. Anyway, speaking of Colorado, we're going to stay in Colorado for our next story here. Now, with Colorado, they've got a new law that just came into effect as of January 1st, where you can actually buy the little green leafy stuff. And no, I'm not talking about celery, because you know you can get that anywhere. And I'm not talking about lettuce, because you can get that anywhere too. I'm talking about the, that's good, man. You know, it's pot.
Wait, what?
Yes, you can buy pot in Colorado, but you cannot.
All right, I'll be right back.
The thing is, though, because this is all new, they don't know. This is one of those things where because they're trying to suss out all the nuances of it. The thing is, you cannot eat or smoke it in public. But, you know, if you're eating a brownie that's laced with marijuana, who's really going to know that it's laced with marijuana? Because I can go out and I go, ooh, I got brownie, you know. Who's going to walk? You're going to be walking down the street eating a brownie. A cop's going to walk up to you and go, yeah, I need the taste of that brownie. You know, I want to make sure there's no pot in there. You know, then of course, then he eats it, and then of course, then he's got the munchies. Then you both go out to go get some Cheetos. But because of this new situation that they've got going on out there, there is actually talk about a shortage of having enough marijuana for everybody. This has never been a problem, you know, because that I've ever seen or heard of, because you know. People come out, they're trying to get pot and everything like that for all over the place. And I suppose if I looked hard enough, I could find someone who was selling marijuana. Not that I have any desire to do that, but I suppose I could. And I know a few circles I could probably find it fairly
just
easily.
Ask your daughter, she's in high school.
Yeah, she's in high school. She could probably hook me up.
Best thing to prison.
That's right. She could probably hook me up. she's sitting over here nodding her head. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can. What do you want, Dad? You want a quarter ounce? You want a little bit, a little something to rub your teeth with? You know,
you're gonna rub pot on your teeth?
Yeah, so I'm gonna rub pot on my teeth. It tastes good that way. makes my teeth all green. You know.
Dave on this show, Joe.
Yeah, Dave knows all about pot. You know, most of the time when I go around talking about pot, it's about the thing that you cook
in.
This one time at pot camp. but apparently they're delving out like quarter ounces of pot, but they're allowed to make six pot plants, or not make, but grow six pot plants in their shops, and they could.
Karn3333 in the chat room says that staters can get an ounce and out-of-staters can only get a half an ounce.
Yeah, okay. No, I meant how much you're actually going to be able to grow. Because these plants, they only produce so much. They're only about 10 pounds a month. So, you know, that's not a whole lot. I mean, hell, you get 10 pounds of hamburger and you're good to go. But 10 pounds of this with being dosed out so smallly, I don't know. I don't do drugs, so I don't know all the lingo on it and as far as usage and things like that. You know, we were kind of joking around. I was like, oh man, a quarter ounce, hell, I'd probably go through that in a couple of days. And Dave was like, that'll last me all month. A quarter ounce would last you all month. I was like, because apparently he gets it from a dispensary out in Michigan. But so like I said, I don't know anything about it. I'd be cooking it and everything. You know, so let's try some of the sausage and things. Jenny, your thoughts?
Yay, legal pot in Colorado. When I was in high school, I was first introduced to the radical idea of legalizing marijuana from a Jello Biafra spoken word album.
Mm-hmm.
Jello Biafra was the lead singer of the Dead Kennedys, and after the band broke up, he went around doing political spoken word shows, and he would record them and edit them together and sell them as like little albums. So I was so impressed with this idea, I started to talk to people about it, and initially most of the reaction from friends was that I was absolutely crazy. They would say legal pot is the same as legal heroin or legal murder. My pothead friends would say it was a good idea, but it would never, ever happen. The man was just too strong. But damn, man, all those kids that I went to high school with, they grew up and became voters, and now we get to decide the world we live in. And
yes.
Marijuana legalization started with medical marijuana, which I thought was kind of a weak compromise. I was a little mad about that. But now looking back, that's how they affected the change. Baby steps, baby steps.
Yep.
So one state after another, and another now. And
there was a, there was
full legalization in two states.
Oh yeah, absolutely. There was a, there was actually legal for a very short time in, I think it was Washington D.C. I could be wrong on this. There's a guy, he gets it right from the government. The government grows marijuana, and he's allowed to smoke it in public because it's part of his. His regiment or his medication or whatever, and he's got a license for it and everything, and he can't give it to anybody else. He's not allowed to, you know, sell it, resell it, or give it to anybody else for any reason. But he carries it around in a like a cigarette pack, and he just pulls one out, lights it up. Oh yeah, you know, just like a cigarette out in public, and it's in Washington D.C. I could be wrong on the exact location, but I think that, as I recall, of course, I this has been a while since I saw this documentary on this. It was amazing.
The government pot is the best.
Yeah,
I imagine it comes packaged like government cheese. It's in like a gray package. It says government marijuana.
Government marijuana.
It reeks out the whole house. You're just like, oh yeah.
Are you talking about the cheese now?
No, the government pot.
Oh no! You said the reek up the whole house. That was the government cheese. Never mind. Anyway,
pot smells. And the better pot smells better. So I'm told.
I wouldn't know. I have smelled pot before. I used to live in Madison, and I had a few neighbors that would try selling it or dealing it, and they lived like right above me, or like we get people like yelling out the window, "Hey, you got some stuff and whatever." And it's like it was a little bizarre. So eventually, we had to. Get out of there. But the thing is, they have this Clean Indoor Act, which you can use it in your home. You just can't like step out on your porch and eat, you know, pot brownies or smoke out on your porch. You have to do it inside your house. The Clean Air Act that they have, I think it's just like for restaurants and things like that. So, which is kind of weird because some of these places are supposed to, you're supposed to be able to smoke them inside, but because it's smoke, you can't. So it's. Right.
It's all restaurants, kinda, bars, yeah. And hotels.
Yeah, it's weirdly weird right now. So they gotta suss it out. That's all there is to it. Connie, your thoughts?
Yeah, in Colorado and here in Washington State, it's legal for recreational use, and in 21 states plus D.C. for medical use. So we have 25 states where, you know, it in some form it you can buy marijuana, and I don't know why it's not. I mean, what I think really needs to happen, this is something that I read, is for the government to take it off of the Class A drug list. I think that's what it's called. Here in Washington State, where, you know, I know that they're talking about having some shortages in Colorado, and they're realizing that, well, how many dispensaries are going to be needed, not dispensaries, I guess, if it's medical, but, and then how much can we allow to be grown here in Washington State? They have a total square footage. It's like 2 mil across the entire state that they would allot for pot farms. And on the first day, for applications for growers, they received 26,000.
Wow.
Here, and that was 10 times the applications that they could actually expected. And so honestly, if everybody got that, they would each only get to have so much square foot. It would shrink the square footage that they would be able to grow pot. And the other problem was, you know, retail sales. And for example, in Seattle, they've received 408 applications for a retail store, and they only have 21 allotted.
Wow.
So this might result in a lottery, you know, for both those things. But Allison Holcomb, who is a Seattle attorney and who drafted our legal pot law, said she's suggesting to the board that we need to lift that cap of 2 million. I don't know if she wants to double it, but to make sure that we have enough that's produced, because even if everybody's growing pot, it doesn't mean every crop is going to be successful.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so, but I guess the launching in Colorado actually went really, really well, even though they were running out, even though, you know, it was a really positive experience because law enforcement and government officials, like in the last few days before, like right up until midnight on New Year's Eve, they were handing out, you know, permits for people to open up retail stores in Denver and things. And so it's been a really positive thing. And that's what's great. It's a really putting a really good face on this thing.
Yeah,
so
one of the other things I saw here is that they said that maybe because of this new law that mm-hmm. people are able to have marijuana, they're able to grow up to six plants. I don't know how long you can keep it, you know, the six plants up 6 months, six plants a year, six plants a day or a month, whatever it is. You can have up to six plants, but no more, you know.
Yeah.
So if you have seven, you're in violation of the law. But if you're six or less, yeah, you're fine, you know. But
well, besides square footage and this other, you know, these other things, David pointed out an article, the other problem, and this is where really legalization across the board or declassification of the drug needs to happen is because banks are reluctant to fund this. And if you don't have capital, you know, it's really hard to have a business. Not that many people have that kind of money to invest.
Right.
And so there's I guess right now, like Visa and MasterCard are kind of not enforcing some of their rules,
mm-hmm.
you know, because there are places that I guess that people have been able to use debit cards or credit cards to make their purchases, but people still have problems getting bank loans for a business. So
yeah, there was also some talk that you kind of brought up in another article that some of these banks are like they didn't want to have to deal with the dirty money of the pot, and it's like, dude. You know, Mr. Banker Man, you're getting money from prostitutes and hookers and other drug dealers and politicians, and the other ones are more legitimate than the politicians.
Yeah, but it's not a licensed business. Dave sent me the same article, and I'm glad Connie brought it up. What they're predicting the problem will be is these stores are selling for a profit,
mm-hmm.
and they can't put it in the bank. The bank can refuse their business because the government won't let them take that kind of money for you know, criminal
Thank
money.
You.
And so I said to Dave, I was like, well, what about dispensaries in California? Like, they should just ask them what they're doing with their money.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that those were nonprofit, so the rules were different. But I don't see how that's different. If you're making money selling weed mm-hmm. and you try to put it in a bank and the bank knows you're doing that, it's the same thing whether you're profit or nonprofit.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, what's really stupid is that a bank saying, money? We don't want money. You know, and the other thing is that there's people out there who are also making pornography films, too. And it's all a matter of perspective. They think it's more of a moral issue. Well, there's no morals involved in this. There shouldn't have been to begin with because it's become legal. Just because you're a bank that doesn't like where the money's come from, it's none of your goddamn fucking business where they got their money. You know, as long as if it's legal there, because it says here, and I have a dollar bill right here, and it says right on here that this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. So it doesn't matter what the bank says, that if they say we don't want to accept your money because it came from this source, it came from a legal source. Period.
Yeah, banking regulations trump the words on the bill.
Oh, do they?
The Anti-Money Laundering Act.
Oh,
is,
yeah, then, I'm not familiar with that. So
it's a law to keep criminals from using banks.
While
it's legal in Colorado for these stores to operate, it's still illegal on the federal level for banks to take the money from these businesses and store it.
I wonder, too, and that the article addressed it, too, was that what about if there was a bank set up in the state, pardon me, I'm stuttering, and the problem is there's ways that the state and the federal don't meet up. I mean, it's a risk, because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and somebody else pointed out, which may or may not be true, what if we get an ultra-conservative president next, and they want to change everything? It's still very risky, so we really need some
federal
level changes.
Yeah, see, I was not aware of that. I was not aware of that, and I thank you for letting me know that. See, when I always hear money laundering, I always think, you know, people take their money and they throw it in a washing machine, wash it up a few times.
Well, you can do that. It's just And some people do.
And some people do, yeah. You go, hey, there was $10 in my wallet or my pocket when I washed my jeans.
Did you see the clip of Nancy Grace on CNN talking about the legal pot?
No, I did not.
Oh, it's hilarious. She's like saying like, oh, I'm completely against the legalization of pot because it's going to lead to laziness. Would you want your kids being watched by a babysitter that was high? And the anchor was like, oh, Nancy, like, my goodness, what are you saying? And she's like, hey, the only people that disagree with me are lethargic people sitting on the couch eating potato chips right now.
Well, obviously, because they're watching your show, bitch. She just insulted all her viewers.
Nancy Grace. I think she's an idiot.
I think she's an super idiot too. Annoying. Yeah, she's very annoying.
She is self-righteous. Never mind.
You're right. She's a self-righteous little. I'm not gonna slut.
I still sometimes have trouble swearing. I would like to call her things that aren't very nice.
All right, you just whisper it to me and I'll say it.
She's kind of like in the same league as Judge Judy, you know, like she looks down her nose at everybody, she'll ask you a question before you have time to even open your mouth, she's yelling at you for not answering it.
Yeah. Well, Judge Judy's a little bit more respectable than that, I think.
Yeah. Judge Judy's actually local from me around here.
Oh, is she?
She flies out to California to do her show, but she like lived or lives currently still around where I live.
Ah, that's cool. All right. Well, speaking of people who are probably have been smoking way too much weed, let's get on to our next topic for this evening.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
And on tonight, instead of having a discussion like we normally do on our longer shows, we're actually going to do a video because this came up and it was just too good to pass up. I actually took some notes on it just so I was ready for it. And we're going to play that video clip for you here right now.
I mean, our laws used to be based on morality. That's why, I'm sorry, but this monument to Satan in Oklahoma is wrong. Because we are not a nation. We are a Christian Judeo nation. So we are based on Judeo-Christian values. That's not a religion. That is just how we put our laws together. So putting the Ten Commandments up is just a monument of where we got our laws. Putting a satanic monument up next to the Ten Commandments,
which they're trying to do in Oklahoma City.
That has
City
nothing
right now
to do with our country.
That's just
nothing
sheer evil
to do. That's, you can put that up on your own land.
Evil. Yeah,
that does not go in front of the courthouse.
No.
As a balance to the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments, that's where we get our law. That's why it's in front of the courthouse. We get our law from the laws of Moses. We don't get our laws from Satan. It's truly insanity, and it's immoral. We have taken our laws. We may now be getting our laws from Satan, but it's truly immoral where we're headed.
Okay, Glenn Beck, he's such a peach, isn't he? He's such a nice guy. Being the asshole he is. God,
I need a hall pass. I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah, no. No kidding. The fact that he had a show and he got kicked off the air because he was so much of a fucking nut job to begin with. But I'm going to address some of his comments here. One, he said the laws, you know, based on Moses' writings here, basically. And he said the laws are based on morality. It's like, first of all, laws are not based on morality. They are definitely not the same thing. The laws are based and created based on the needs and the desires of the people for many reasons. Safety and ethics are just for a couple. For example, on more than ethical standards, if let's say there's a baby in a carriage or whatever, a baby seat or whatever, and it's about to fall off the edge of a cliff or something, morally, to go and grab that baby and save it, that's the moral thing to do. Legally, you have no legal need to do that. You could stand there, watch this baby go over, and you would still be legally exempt from the law. You know, laws are not about morals. Because if they were, it just would be fucking pandemonium here. You know, look over in those other countries, which are theocracies to begin with. Those laws are based on their moral laws. And people are getting arrested because they are breaking some kind of moral code. They got moral police roaming around because just because of the way they think the law should be, or because of the way they think you're acting is not based on, is just based on what they believe. Not any real hard laws, but what they believe. And he said that this is a Christian nation. Bullshit! Beck, you are full of shit again! And here's why. The Treaty of Tripoli, for example, just one of so many here, was signed in November 4th of 1796. You know, back before you were born, before I was born. And it was signed again on January 3rd of 1797. And it was signed by President John Adams, and it took effect on June 10th of 1797. Plus, the Founding Fathers wanted us, if they wanted us to be a Christian nation, it would be written into the Constitution, which it's not. And some people say, oh, well, it says that, you know, we're endowed by our Creator. Yeah, that's a whole different document. That is the Declaration of Independence. You know, that's not our Constitution. The Declaration of Independence.
It says Year of Our Lord.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at that time is how they said.
Yeah, that's how they said, you know, things, yeah. But that's as far as that's
colloquialisms of the time.
Exactly,
exactly,
yeah. Exactly. But it doesn't necessarily have any God reference other than that in it. And it's Christian values, and he says that Christian values were that, you know, the Judeo-Christian things. You know, he says it's not a religion. Those are basically implying that is a religion. And if we did get our laws from the Ten Commandments, then what about the other 603 laws? You know. And the 10 laws that they're counting on, the first several laws that are on there are all about his ego. You know, just like, mm-hmm. Don't do this because it's going to make me unhappy. Don't do this because I need to do this. You need to pray to me and don't have any of the gods from before me and all this other crap.
How many commandments did you say? Six?
There's.
It's the first four. How you interact with God.
Right.
Like you have no other gods before me. Right. And then the last six have to actually do with behavior.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, no, I said the first several. I didn't say the first six.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and then when he says the part about if you want to put it out on your own land, you want to put a statue of Satan out on your own land, you go ahead. You know what? Same thing goes to you, fucker. If you want to put if you want to put a Ten Commandments on your lawn, or if you want to put a big Jesus statue, or him nailed to a cross, you go right a fucking head. There is no law stopping you from doing it. But this is public land. First of all, they said the way the law is written, and it should be enforced. But down in Oklahoma, they decided, oh, we're going to do something different. We're just going to say everybody can do it. You know, and, you know, the fact is, if you're going to allow one, you have to allow the other. And what they're doing is they're tucking tail on this shit because they're saying, oh, well, we're going to let you put this one up. But then all of a sudden, all these other religions are, oh, we want our say too. Oh, well, we didn't really want it, mean it to have all religions. We want it to just be to give an exception to our religion. No, that's not what this law is for. You know, you guys wrote the law to let all these religions have a say out there, so you better fucking do it. Oh, and the last part where he says we're under Satan's laws now. You know, we're following Satan's laws now. You know, that's a little dig at the president, you know. And first of all, idiot.
You think?
Yeah, I think so. Beck, you're a fucking idiot, and it's a little, you know, ad hominem. But, you know, the thing is that Barack Obama has only been president for 7 years now. Not even quite 7 years. He didn't come in as soon as he became president, didn't rewrite all the fucking laws out there. You know, then he's like, oh, well, we're going to change this for you cannot murder you cannot murder on a Wednesday. You know, he didn't do that. The laws of our country have already been established. Just because we have a president in office doesn't mean all the laws get changed immediately. It's a fucking stupid-ass argument, and I'm pretty sure he was being it to be more ad hominem than anything else. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, it's a prophecy of the end times.
Yeah.
Obama is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
I think Obama's also in his fifth year or coming up on the sixth year anniversary.
Yeah,
now.
Something like that. I'm sorry. Fifth year.
He should get
fifth
State
year.
Of the just, Union at the end just, of this month.
right?
Yeah.
Just so we don't have to correct it next week.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I watched this video, and it's very comical. And when he started going off about the planned Satanist monument, as you mentioned, he said it would be fine on public land and not on – or fine on private land but not on public land.
Right.
I laughed so hard. I thought, gee, I wonder where I heard that argument before.
Uh-huh.
You know, he went on to say that our laws are based on the laws of Moses, and the Ten Commandments are therefore appropriate on the lawn of a courthouse. Now, Dawkins Dog in the chat room pointed out that American law is not based on Christianity; it's based on English common law.
Right.
So, right there, boom, it's nonsense. Like, he's just talking right out of his ass.
Yeah. He also said that the U.S. was founded on if the U.S. was founded on Christianity, it surely the First Amendment would breach the First Commandment.
That's a great point. Yeah. I like that point.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of laws of Moses, but if you actually went around following them, you'd wind up in jail.
Absolutely. Yeah, you know, and you're one of the other Ten Commandments. You know, they're only following these Ten Commandments because these are the ones they like. There's the other Ten Commandments that he came down with also originally. You know, well, not don't boil a goat in its mother's milk. I mean, right. Yeah, that's always a big problem around here, you know.
There's all the rules in Deuteronomy and Leviticus,
yep.
And, you know, if you followed all the laws in the Bible, you wouldn't be allowed to eat at Red Lobster.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't shave your beard. You couldn't wear mixed fabrics.
Right.
Many of the laws of Moses
shave your face.
Deal with...
You wouldn't be able. Right, be able to shave.
Trim your beard. Right. Many of the laws of Moses have to deal with who should be murdered for making silly offenses against God.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So right there, like, you know, if you touch Mount Sinai,
yeah.
You're to be put to death. If you pick up sticks on a Sunday, you should be put to death. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
If a woman's not a virgin on her wedding day, she should be put to death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous. So,
and the women should have to go out in a tent during their monthly cycle, you know, until it's done, and you're not supposed to sit in a seat that a woman has had her monthly mm-hmm. cycle in, you know.
Right. I mean, the people who are pro-Christian monument in front of courthouses don't take into account that the laws are all or nothing. It's if you allow it, you have to allow everyone else's religion to have
right.
a monument too, which is why the Satanists are pushing to put in a monument. It's why the atheists put a monument in front of a courthouse in Florida.
Right.
And they're not happy about it. They're like, well, it's not right. It's not fair. You know, we want just our monument. Well, it's not a country of just Christians. If
That's
you
right.
are going to go putting monuments on public land, you have to let everyone in.
That's right.
Which is why we don't like to let people in, because it's not good.
That's right. If you want to put it – I said it once. He doesn't get it. He said it. If you want to do it on your own lawn, you go right ahead. The same fucking thing applies to him. He doesn't – when he said that, I was like, oh, my God. He didn't see the irony of what he just fucking said. You know, I'm surprised, you know, later on he'll be looking and go, oh, that's what they meant. You know, like,
it's completely a self-contradictory position to have.
Absolutely.
I mean, the guy that's in the video with him, you know, he says something about the Satanist monument, and the guy is like, and that's just pure evil. That's just pure evil.
Oh,
yeah? What defines evil?
Right.
Like, you know, is Satan
the devil,
evil,
you know,
real?
Exactly. You know, in the Bible, the devil is actually probably the good guy in this, because he didn't kill anybody without God's permission. You know, and God's actually killed more than the devil
yeah.
had.
He didn't kill nearly as many people. And on top of that, God and the devil made wagers with each other to inflict suffering on people.
Right.
Just for the fun of it, just because, you know, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's see what you're going to do on a Friday night.
We can go. Well, no, God can go to the Colorado and smoke weed.
That's my pot.
My pot now. Connie, your thoughts.
Well, when he says a satanic monument next to the Ten Commandments has nothing to do with our country, and I'm thinking, actually, it has a lot to do, and you've already covered that. But, our founding fathers, you know, obviously they weren't all Christians, and people like Beck and Barton and Pat Robertson, they all like to obfuscate and just try and null that statement. And actually, they were highly influenced by Hellenic and Roman history. They were very impressed with that, and that's why they learned from Greece's basically their mistakes when they set up their democracy. Anyway, no. When I was in high school, I remember the Pat Robertsons and other other preachers, where they were decrying how public school teachers were teaching history wrong. They were trying to say that, well, you know, Thomas Jefferson wasn't a saint. He wasn't a Christian, and how he had little redheaded slaves running around his plantation, and they just thought this was awful. And they called these people revisionists.
Yeah.
What I can say is that Pat Robertson and David Barton and Glenn Beck and Brian Fisher have taken notes. And what we see right now with the fundamentalists is that they are using the same tactics that they used to decry.
Mm-hmm.
And not just here, obviously, like with abortion. It used to be called anti-abortionists. Well, they didn't like that, so they flipped it. Now, mm-hmm. we're pro-life, and you're anti-life. You know, that's all they're doing. That's the stupid. It's a stupid game. It's like a grade school play yard tactic that they're using, mm-hmm. and I think it shows the desperation of the deeply, you know, moronic and blind right wing. I think they're grasping at straws.
Oh yeah,
and they just don't they see that they're. You know, their career light is flashing, and they don't want it to be done, and
right.
it's getting ugly. But that's only because it's, you know, they're finding that their base is probably not as, you know, they have to keep them stupid.
Yeah.
They have to keep them illiterate. That's why they're attacking science. That's why they're attacking history. They don't want mm-hmm. everybody to know. So, one of my least favorite people, Glenn Beck, and. By the way, you know, I would like to know where in the Ten Commandments, the Mosaic Law gave them the right to bear arms, and if that is also true, then why do they serve Lobster Newberg in the Capitol?
<Right.
laughs> The thing I kept thinking was the Burbs. Satan is good. Satan is good.
I saw that. The Burbs. Yeah, that was a good one. For anybody who does not know the Treaty of Trippel, I'm not going to read the whole text because it's quite long, but I'm going to read one particular part here. It says, as the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion, as it has itself no character of enmity against the laws, religion, or tranquility of Muslims, and as the said states never entered into any war or act of hostility against any Mohammedan's nation. It is declared by the parties that no pretext arising from religious opinions shall ever produce an interruption in the harmony existence between the two countries. So basically, we signed a treaty with the Muslim nations over there to say, hey, we're not a Christian nation. You don't need to come over here and fucking attack us, basically. So because we're not a threat to you, we're a secular nation. We're not going to be out there pushing our religion down your throat, you know. And so this is how it was written out, so it would keep the world, you know, at least hopefully our happy asses, you know, from having to deal with this shit. But you know, because of the revisionists, which Joe and Connie have both kind of alluded to here, that they don't want it that way. They want a theocracy, and you're not going to get one. You want a theocracy? Go to fucking Iran or Iraq, you know, or Dubai. Those are theocracies. Go fucking live there. You know, Hagee is always on atheists saying, there's planes leaving to go to anywhere else in the world because we're a Christian nation. Well, you know what? This is a secular nation. There are theocracies out there. There are planes leaving every hour on the hour. Why don't you, Hagee, and your followers get on some of those planes and get the fuck out of our country?
Ugh. Whoa. Well, the thing is, they think it's already a theocracy and that we're trying to take it away from them.
Yeah.
We're trying to dismantle it. At least that's how they talk. They're like, well, this is our tradition. This is the way it's always been.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely not true.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the little rant there because I was just Hagee kind of pisses me off.
That's understandable.
And do you feel better now?
I feel better now. Thank you.
Okay.
Christians, you can stay. I'm just kidding. Hagee, you leave. Just Hagee can leave. Hagee and his ilk can leave. That's all.
Hagee, no here.
They sometimes say, like, you know, if you feel that way, just go live in Texas. All of you go live in Texas. Heck, Texas secede. Enjoy your fun. Repeal all the environmental protection laws and teach your kids, you know, Noah's Ark in history class.
All right, there you go.
Do whatever you want. Just do it by yourself down there. course, all the atheists in Austin would be like, what the fuck, dude? Really?
We build a tunnel to Austin. Yeah. And then, you know, and then from, you know, the rest of the country. And then we, you know, then we just say, we're just going to keep Austin. The rest of you can just fuck you.
In the treaty, we have to keep Austin. You could be an independent country, but our 50th state will be Austin, so we don't have to change the flag.
That's right. But they're
the
surrounded by, but they're surrounded by Texas. You know, that's, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Preach it. I've never even been there.
I've been there. It's flat.
It's flat.
It's very, very flat. And it takes a long time to get across.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. All right. Anyway, let's get into our next topic for this evening. Our funny tweet comes from Beatery. That's B-R-E-A-D-E-R-Y. He says, oh, sure. Sleeping Beauty is romantic when it's a fairy tale. But when I start kissing coma patients, it's illegal. You don't want to be doing that. She looked pretty. She looks like she's sleeping. Maybe if I kiss her, she'll wake right up. Any thoughts on that before we move on?
Well, no.
Okay. No. No.
Okay. All right, let's get into our shout-out for this evening.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout-out this evening is actually from Crystal. She was actually supposed to be on the show tonight, but because of the weird weather we've been having, she's actually experienced a rain event where she's at, so she's kind of knocked offline for right now. But she gave us her shout-out, and that's for P2Fan. That's the letter P, the number 2, and F-A-N, and his name is Janoon, and he's from India, and his profile says, atheist. He says, I am the biggest fans of progressivism, football, and UNICEF. This explains everything about me. Time kicked me out of the teenage on 4th June 2013, and he gives his Twitter and his webpage out on WordPress. So, yeah, give him a follow. I've been following him back and forth for a while now. He left Twitter for a while because he was going to school. I think he's in India, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong, but I think he's in India. Joe knows him as well. Joe, do you want to tell us a little bit about him too?
Yeah, he's one of the first people I found on Twitter back when I first started poking around and looking in the atheist hashtags and meeting people and stuff. And he was fun, energetic. He used to retweet a lot. And like you said, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And when he left, I started asking around, like, hey, what happened to P2Fan? Where'd he go? What happened? And nobody answered me. Usually people are like, oh, they turn off their account for a little while. You know, somebody always knows. But with him, nobody knew. And then one day, I'm on there, and I see him. His handle, his avatar, I'm just like, whoa, you're back. And he's like, yeah, I'm back. Yeah, what's up, man? So, yeah, he's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy, yeah. Absolutely. So if you're on Twitter and you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give P2Fan a follow. That's the letter P, the number 2, F-A-N. Okay. I think, yes, that's it. We're done. Hey, we get out of here. Woohoo! And if you stayed awake this long, congratulations. Because we were sleeping the whole time. You didn't know it, but we were sleeping. I want to thank everybody for coming to the show, and catch us all next week for our short show, of course. And, of course, if you want to get in contact with us and give us a call, the number again is 662-709-PPAP or 662-709-7727. And we want to hear from you. But anyway,
I want to say thank you to all the people in the chat room. We got a lot of chatters today.
Yes, we had a lot of chatters tonight.
Woohoo!
Thank you for coming.
Super.
Yeah, absolutely. Had some great conversations in there. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to interact with them all too much because, you know, I'm running a show up here.
You always have that excuse.
I know. It's the best one, too.
You should keep a box of Kleenex next to your microphone.
Okay, then.
Okay, Joe.
To wipe away the tears.
Okay. Okay.
Why? What were you thinking? You were thinking about penis again, weren't you?
Yes, when I think of Kleenex, I automatically go to penis.
Right.
sugary 3D printed penis.
Sugary 3D penis. Thank you all for coming. This has been Packard Pokes That We Just Poked At Your News.
And that's a wrap.